Let's bring in Sportsnet baseball insider Shai Davidi. We get to talk about baseball instead of labor issues for a change, Shai. Good morning.
Good morning. And sort of. You know, none of that stuff's going away. But we also get to talk more about health issues now, too, which is just as fun. And we really want to give the people what they want.
Yes. Wear a mask, everybody. Masks
don't
and sanitizers.
During this interview.
That's it.
Shai, hey, tell me. Let me ask you this from a baseball standpoint more than before we kind of get into some of the other logistics. Whose path would you rather have? The Jays and their schedule with the AL East and the NL East, or the Mariners with the AL West and the NL West?
Ooh, you know what? I hadn't even looked at I can't remember a lot of those records off the top of my head. I mean, obviously, you got the Dodgers. You know, the Rockies are a pain in the butt. The Padres are going to be interesting from an NL West front. Houston, I think all three, to be honest, I think all three divisions are going to be pretty tight. You know, the NL Central is a pretty monstrous division. In the AL Central, you've got Cleveland, but the White Sox are coming. Twins are good. It's a deep league right now, and you know we always think that way. But 60 games is weird, man. Like small sample size randomness is going to rule the day. And then just to make things more volatile, guys are going to be coming in at vastly different states of readiness, depending on what kind of resources they had around them during the shutdown. So honestly, I think this season is going to be like impossible to handicap. And I think we're going to see all kinds of weird and wild and wacky.
Where are the Jays? Have they decided where will they have spring training?
They have not decided. As of last night, when I was in touch with several people, including some players who were kind of wondering where the hell they should go to. The likeliest scenario right now is that they will train in Dunedin. They still are holding out hope that they can play their regular season games in Toronto. They're working to that end. They have yet to submit formal proposals to the government. At least that's what the health officials have told us. But that could be coming. And look, there are ways for them to set up almost a bit of a mini bubble for visiting teams to come. They can stay at the hotel that's attached to the Rogers Center and just really go from the airport to that hotel, to the ballpark and back out. So they can create a little mini hub in that way. But they're not there yet. So they've got a lot of uncertainty to deal with. And of course they had a potential outbreak begin late last week too, which they're still trying to cope with as well.
Obviously, as the cases continue to climb across America, and we've seen the spike in Florida, obviously, you know, not out of the woodwork yet from a baseball standpoint there, or even from a health and safety standpoint that Major League Baseball is going to have to deal with as we talk baseball with Shai Davidi here on Sportsnet 650. You know, you look at some of the rules that they've added, though, for this upcoming season. So, you know, the DH is in play for both the National and the American League. But it's extra innings. Runners start at second. I don't think I love this. I don't know if I like this one at all. Give me the method to the madness here, and what's your thoughts on this?
They're trying to keep games from going on too long, right? Everything's about trying to get people or have people together for the minimal amount of time possible, just for health and safety reasons. And look, this is something that's been experimented with in the minor leagues and has been used in international baseball. And, you know, from someone who's, you know, watches 162 games a year, you know, there's some merit to this. Guys are continually shredding arms, you know, like the 18 inning games, you know, they can be fun on occasion, but you know, in this kind of season, in this kind of environment and under these circumstances, I think you definitely don't want that. So anything that can help end games shorter or end games faster, I think that's the driving factor here. And, you know, I wonder if this is one of those things that gets introduced now and ends up staying because, you know, I just think as you're looking to both manage length of game in general and manage pitcher health, this may be something that ends up sticking.
Shai, with your connections with players and clubs around the league, from a player perspective, do you think they were more like in the last 24 hours, why did it take this long to get here, that they felt it was going to be inevitable that they'd be playing?
Yeah, I mean, and it wasn't just in the last 24 hours. Like, I think that in the past couple of days, there's a little bit of, you know, what was all that for? And, you know, on both sides, you know, that they got to this place where they probably could have gotten to had Major League Baseball simply chosen to follow the March 26th agreement from the beginning instead of seeking additional salary cuts. And that's a real shame. And it's too bad that things happened the way that they did. But, you know, the players, I think, are of two minds. They're like, you know, was this really necessary? But also, you know, they understand that they repelled what was clearly an attack on their rights and on their agreed to salaries, that collectively bargained and subsequently reaffirmed in the March 26th agreement. So, you know, there's a bigger picture to all this, that is, they could be fighting about this again next year if, you know, there isn't a vaccine and, again, games have to be staged without fans in the stands. And there's a collective bargaining agreement to be discussed at the end of 2021. So there's certainly a lot at stake over the past 3 months. And I think both sides can come away from this feeling like they held their ground to a certain degree. Whether that's good for baseball in the bigger picture, I think that's certainly open for debate. And, you know, I think you're going to get vastly different interpretations of that.
There was supposed to be about $4 billion in salary. The players will only wind up getting collectively, I think, just under $1.5 billion. At this point, it's just a 10-team playoff. Do you think, but it sounds like there's a window for the 16 teams. Do you think that there's still, what do you think it finishes at? Do you think it'll keep it to the 10, or do you think as we get closer to, everybody will say, yeah, more playoffs?
No, I think at this point, the reason that there isn't an expanded playoffs right now is that the players simply felt they weren't getting enough value in return for that give. And remember, this is an important concession on the part of players because it's not a huge revenue generator for them. It primarily generates the revenue for the owners. Players get a share of the gate receipts. And of course, this year they weren't going to get any gate receipts because the stadiums are probably going to be empty. So, you know, there's not a ton of incentive for them to do that, to play these extra games for owners if you're not getting a sufficient give back. And so for them, they were able to look at how owners valued the expanded playoffs as something that's in their back pocket for future negotiations with Major League Baseball. And you know, that's part of what happened over the past couple of months. Both sides were digging out information about the other, seeing how the other side valued certain things, how they prioritized certain things. And both of them have a lot of information to work with now when they sit down for the next round of collective bargaining agreement talks.
It's going to be strange because you don't know who's been able to work that much harder in facilities. Would you just naturally go maybe advantage hitters for the first few weeks of this thing starting up in July?
I mean, maybe, you know, in general, you know, the old cliche in spring training is that the pitchers are always ahead of hitters. But, you know, you could probably hit off a machine and get a lot more work in than, you know, for certain pitchers. If they didn't have a major league caliber catcher around, then, you know, you might have been throwing into a net and you might not have been ramping it up. You're trying to maintain some arm strength, but not really ramping it up and sharpening yourself the way you're going to need to effectively get out. So I honestly have no idea what to expect. And I think that we're going to see some weird and funky stuff, which is going to be fun, but it's going to make it super unpredictable. And that'll be, part of the charm of this season. Of course, you know, there's the obvious downside is that you know, the guys are going to get infected. You know, I mean, we're all going to have to live with that. We all are living with that risk in our own lives every time we go out into the community to varying degrees. You know, baseball players are going to be living with that constantly, to the point that in the 2020 operating manual for Major League Baseball, they've created a special COVID-19 injured list. So, you know, it's going to be weird all across the board in every way imaginable. And, you know, I think we're going to be wildly entertained, but it's going to be like nothing we've ever seen before.
Nice to catch up with you, sir. Here we go. We'll see how it all kind of plays out here over the next few weeks. Next week, the first step where everybody reports on Canada Day, and we'll see based on how things look from a health standpoint whether or not this actually gets off the ground. Thanks for doing this morning, Shai, and baseball's back, I guess. Get to work, buddy.
That's it. Never stop working, but we can
I hear you.
Do some more fun stuff now.